local reactions to the immigration enforcement situation in Minneapolis, and a new clinic is on the way for veterans in Yuma County. This is KAWC's Arizona edition. I'm Victor Calderon. Following the separate shootings of two American citizens by ICE agents in Minneapolis, the KAWC student newsroom spoke with local protesters in Yuma.
But I feel like this has gone further than politics. This is killing people. This is murdering everyone in general.
Plus, veterans in Yuma County will have a new outpatient clinic that will save them from going out of town for care.
I get all my VA health care through VA being a disabled veteran, so it's going to save me 3 or 4 trips to Tucson every year. I'll be able to get all my health care in one spot instead of multiple places.
Those stories, plus a student walkout in San Luis, and remembering Bill Lutz, coming up on Arizona Edition.
Funding for Arizona Edition comes from listeners just like you. Your continued support allows us to bring you insightful conversations about issues and events impacting our community. Thanks to you, we are able to highlight the people and voices of Yuma and La Paz counties and encourage civil conversations around water, agriculture, healthcare, education, and much more. Please continue to tune in to Arizona Edition, and thank you for helping us keep our community informed.
This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. I'm Victor Calderon. On Friday, students at San Luis High School took part in the national Ice Out protest against immigration enforcement. KAWC Education Solutions reporter Cisco Stargazer spoke to students and a police spokesman.
On Friday morning, a group of about 100 San Luis High School students walked out of campus to protest Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. The walkout is one of many taking place across the nation this week as tension and anxieties rise in the wake of deaths connected to ICE. Lieutenant Emmanuel Botello of the San Luis Police Department shared that the students walked out during first lunch with signs and flags all the way to Joe Orduño Park.
The plan that was, you know, publicly announced was that at the first lunch, which occurs at around 10:40 a.m., several students that were going to manifest, the protests against the ICE incidents going on around the country, they were going to step out at the first lunch, which they already did. Several students, I want to say, between 100 and 150 students walked out of the school.
Botello observed that the protest was peaceful, with the group size decreasing as time passed.
We're keeping an eye. We're still handling business as usual. We just reminded everybody that of their right to protest and manifest whatever they wanted to manifest. However, we still reminded them that they cannot be obstructing traffic and all the criminal activities that they could get involved with. So as long as they stick to what's legal, they do their peaceful protest, there's going to be no enforcement on our part. We're just watching, and again, we're handling our calls for service. We have the resources ready in the event that we need to make a move. But again, they're staying on the sidewalks. They're peacefully gathering at a park right now, and there doesn't seem to be a whole lot else going on at this moment.
It's worth noting that the walkout took place after social media reports began surfacing of ICE coming to San Luis, Arizona. But Botello shared that the police department was not aware of ICE presence in the area Friday morning.
There's nobody, at least nobody visibly marked. We typically, whenever ICE is in the area, they'll give us a courtesy call, let us know they're in the area. So no, we have not been made aware of any ICE. And there's also no one from like Border Patrol or U.S. Customs in the area. Really just us at this point. And again, only to maintain the security of every other motorist or every other citizen out there on the streets.
Although we weren't able to catch up with the protesters on scene, various San Luis High School students were visiting the Arizona Western College Yuma campus for a competition. So fellow reporter Alexandra Rangel and I asked students what they were hearing and thinking. Here's one senior who asked to remain anonymous.
Well, I mean, it was all through social media, I guess. We weren't here. We left really early, like 5 a.m. I just saw a social media account popped out of nowhere. They're like, we got to stand up to this injustice. It's, I think, because they spotted some vans in Yuma coming into town or something. Obviously, I think it's great that they're standing up for what they believe in. Like, it's a thing that we should still be able to do as a community. Stand up for what you think is right.
Has this whole topic with what's going on with ICE and immigration, has that been on everybody's minds at San Luis High School a lot lately?
I wouldn't say a lot. I mean, it's a lot of people don't really pay attention to news like that, which is like a tragedy because this is affecting our whole nation, right? And then us being from a small town like this where most of our workers are immigrants and we rely on immigrants, especially, you know, being here in Yuma, we grow most of the lettuce, if I'm right, right?
Yeah.
So I don't see the problem with, like I don't get why ICE is being so hostile lately. I know they did some things like in Minnesota and all that. I haven't heard a lot of students talking about it in school, but it should definitely be something that we should pay attention to and be aware of.
As for whether there were any repercussions for walking, Yuma Union High School District Chief Communications Officer Eric Patton said, quote, "Students were verbally encouraged to stay at school, but we also respect their individual constitutional rights," end quote. For Arizona Edition, I'm Cisco Stargazer, and this reporting supported by a grant from the Arizona Local News Foundation.
As federal immigration enforcement efforts in Minneapolis are met with resistance by people there, some in Yuma are raising their voices against Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. KAWC Civic Engagement reporter Alexandra Rangel and the KAWC Student Newsroom spoke to locals who are protesting against ICE.
In recent weeks, tensions with ICE have escalated. The fatal shooting of 37-year-old Alex Preddy in Minneapolis by federal immigration officers has intensified protests, motivating people like Andrew Orta to take to the streets.
Second time this happened, it can't happen again.
The day after Preddy's killing, Orta and his two young daughters could be seen on the corner of 4th Avenue and 24th Street in Yuma with a giant red poster that read "Justice for Alex Preddy." Preddy is the second person to be killed by federal law enforcement agents in Minneapolis. Although the killings occurred in another state hundreds of miles from Yuma, Orta said he just felt the need to do something about it, and this was his way of doing so.
It's a little makeshift thing of some construction butcher paper that we had. So
can you tell me what it says?
It just says "Justice for Alex Preddy."
What do you tell your daughters about what you're doing out here?
It was very difficult for me to explain this to my daughters. I got a little emotional trying to tell them about how someone got hurt because our country's not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And I don't know, it was hard for me to articulate to them without sounding very aggressively. So I just told them that, you know, federal agents hurt someone very bad and they're not alive anymore. And it shouldn't happen. And I want them to realize that it's not okay for that to happen in our country.
Preddy's exchange with law enforcement was captured on video, leading many to question the tactics being used by law enforcement.
I feel like that man got executed. I feel like he was just very unfair. There was six officers on him. You could clearly see that he was disarmed. And after that, they shot him. So I was very upset how they executed that whole situation.
Here at home, state leaders, including Congresswoman Adelita Grijalva, have spoken out against ICE, calling on the Trump administration to scale operations back.
They feel very emboldened to be able to stomp on everyone's rights, and that's just not an option.
I spoke with Grijalva during her visit to Summerton this week. She tells me she's standing with House Democrats in pushing to withhold funding from the Department of Homeland Security if changes to the way ICE is operating are not made. As of Friday, the DHS funding bill was still being negotiated.
I'm not voting in favor of any funding going to DHS. I know that there are other members that won't vote in favor if there is any more funding to ICE without some real changes to that agency.
Grijalva shares what types of reforms she would like to see.
They have to wear body cameras. There's funding for that. There was funding for that before. They have enough funding for 7 years. It's the kind of process that when they're hiring, you're hiring a large number of people that really, if they were going through a normal law enforcement process, would not qualify. And so the kinds of people that you're bringing into the organization are not de-escalating. That's not their goal. And so it's looking at what training materials are you providing people.
Following the killing of Alex Preddy, DHS decided to pull Border Patrol Commander Greg Bovino from Minneapolis. While some take it as a win, Grijalva says it's not enough.
No, absolutely. I don't think he should be anywhere near people, actually. Not in a position to train, not in a position to evaluate. There also has to be investigations, accountability, And right now, this agency doesn't have any. When you have the vice president saying they have complete immunity, that is very it's a very powerful statement.
The withdrawal of Greg Bovino marked a turning point for DHS. And on Thursday, there was a notable shift in tone from the Trump administration. Border czar Tom Homan was dispatched to Minnesota after weeks of clashes between protesters and federal agents and the death of two Minneapolis residents. Homan is now saying conditions on the ground are expected to improve.
We will conduct targeted enforcement operations. Targeted. And what we've been working on is making this operation safer, more efficient, by the book. We are not surrendering the president's mission on immigration enforcement. Let's make that clear.
As changes begin to take effect in Minnesota, Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays is warning that tensions could soon escalate in Arizona. Just this week, more than a dozen restaurants from a grill chain were raided by Homeland Security investigations in Phoenix, with agents targeting undocumented workers. Tucson has also seen a number of raids, and while enforcement activity in Yuma has been slower, some community members say they've been targeted as well.
They pulled me over at gunpoint.
Our KAWC student journalists have been on the ground speaking with community members about their experiences.
Among chanting protesters and honking cars stood a man waving a Mexican flag and dressed as a luchador. Speaking to him, I learned that he had a close interaction with ICE.
I did a U-turn out in the freeway on the way back from the Kachan Casino. Somebody had a pop tire from my family, so I did a U-turn. I went out there, exchanged a tire, and I guess they saw me from afar away, and they pulled me over thinking it was highway patrol, but it was ICE. It was an unmarked vehicle. I had my two children in the car. They pulled me over at gunpoint, and they ran my background and everything. They checked my paperwork and everything was good. But the thing I didn't like is that they'd hailed me at gunpoint while my kids were in the car.
After speaking to the luchador, I found Estella, the person who organized this local protest, and asked her for her insight on why she and others are protesting.
Yeah, so I am Mexican-American, first-generation Chicana, and someone who also can be targeted because of the color of my skin. I didn't feel like I was relating to anyone who was speaking up here in Yuma. That can't speak up for the brown communities because everything is political. But I feel like this has gone further than politics. This is killing people. This is murdering everyone in general. And I think that we just have to create that space to make sure that they know that they can come out here and we're going to be advocating for them as much as we can.
KAWC's student journalists are digging deeper into the issue. They also spoke with a statewide organization that advocates for rural communities. You can hear that interview on their next podcast, The Hotspot, at kawc.org.
Coming up after the break, a new VA clinic is coming to Yuma. And remembering Bill Lutz.
Funding for Arizona Edition comes from listeners just like you. Your continued support allows us to bring you insightful conversations about issues and events impacting our community. Thanks to you, we are able to highlight the people and voices of Yuma and La Paz counties and encourage civil conversations around water, agriculture, healthcare, education, and much more. Please continue to tune in to Arizona Edition, and thank you for helping us keep our community informed.
This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. I'm Victor Calderon. Veterans in the Yuma area will have a new medical facility set to open next year. But one U.S. Senator from Arizona says hiring for the new clinic may put a strain on other VA hospitals in Arizona. The Yuma Veterans Affairs Outpatient Clinic is scheduled to open in the Yuma foothills in 2027. It's a partnership between the Southern Arizona VA healthcare system and Onvita Health. Construction is moving forward on the outpatient clinic, a 30,000-square-foot facility designed to keep care closer to home for local veterans. It's located just off Interstate 8 near the Onvita Foothills Medical Plaza. The clinic will offer primary care, women's health, physical and occupational therapy, lab and imaging services, as well as optometry and audiology, all in one location. For Yuma veterans, that means fewer long trips and more consistent care. A groundbreaking was held recently for the clinic. Brenda Smith is with VFW 1763 in Yuma.
I get all my VA health care through VA being a disabled veteran, so it's going to save me 3 or 4 trips to Tucson every year. I'll be able to get all my health care in one spot instead of multiple places.
Officials say the clinic will strengthen long-term care and continuity for veterans who have relied on distant services in the past. Dr. Robert Trenchel is the president and chief executive officer with OnVita.
So we have a large veteran community here in Yuma and Yuma County, and they need more space to be able to get the care that they need and deserve. So this facility is actually going to double the space that they have for services. It's also been designed by veterans for veterans. So this is a veteran-designed facility that will be providing care for veterans. We're very excited about it. It's really a first-of-its-kind partnership in the country between a private healthcare entity and the VA healthcare system, and hopefully this can serve as a template for future developments like this.
Do you have a ballpark for about how many veterans there are in the service area here?
Sure, I believe there's over 6,000. Over 6,000. So it's a lot.
For folks that want to get more information, is there like something online? Is there like a fact sheet they can go to online or you know, see what kinds of services?
You know, the VA is going to be providing all the services in the facility, so that's going to be the best source for individuals to look for what services are going to be offered, when they're going to be offered. They went through a list of services that'll be there on day one, and we're happy to partner with them to provide additional services. You know, we're going to continue this very positive partnership with the VA.
Anything else you want to mention to the community that's listening? Again, this is, you know, coming out here to the Foothills, and it's going to be right here next to on the Foothills campus.
Yes, on the Foothills campus. This is further development of this Foothills campus here. We have a full ED here. Now we're going to have this clinic here, walk-in clinic, and we're just honored to be able to provide this service to our veterans.
This week, Senator Ruben Gallego highlighted the Yuma VA clinic during a hearing of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee in Washington. VA Secretary Doug Collins appeared before senators to explain plans to overhaul the department. Senator Gallego said that under the VA's newly imposed staffing caps, the Yuma facility will not be able to hire new staff. This would force them to pull workers from already understaffed VA hospitals in Arizona. Gallego said he also pressed officials on wait times for mental health appointments at the VA, which can be long in Arizona. KAWC reached out to OnVita Health for a comment on Senator Gallego's remarks, but did not hear back before press time. Visit KAWC.org for more on the story. OnVita is an underwriter for KAWC. Finally this week, Lutz Casino in Yuma announced the passing of Bill Lutz on January 23rd. Known as Uncle Billy, he was one half of the duo who transformed the family pool hall into the restaurant locals know today. Bill Lutz stopped by the StoryCorps traveling recording studio when it was in Yuma in 2010. He and his brother Bob Lutz shared the story of the Lutz Wedding Chapel.
My dad, my father, he came. He migrated to Yuma from Clexico in the 30s. And when he came to Yuma, he opened a sweet shop, Green Spot. And we still get bills from people with that name Green Spot on it. He sold like a soda fountain and funny books and cigars and confectionaries. He was right next to the Yuma Theater, and my mother was the ticket taker in the Yuma Theater, and that's how they met.
Then they were married, and they lived in the San Carlos Hotel, which is the first air-conditioned building in Yuma.
We were still young when my father was, he ran for Justice of the Peace, and it was a big upset. He won this race, and at that time, to be Justice of the Peace, it was about one of the few lucrative jobs in Yuma because you got to perform weddings for marriage for people, and people came from all over California and the old movie stars especially to be married in Yuma because there was no publicity and there was no waiting period like in Yuma. Like in California.
They also required a blood test there, and there was... This was all during World War II, and these young guys getting ready to ship out overseas, they would all come down here to get married with their girlfriends, and they would come all 24 hours a day, all by busloads, and the Greyhound bus and the train that came through here. They were full of people wanting to get married. There were a dozen wedding chapels here in Yuma during that time, and
a lot of competition for weddings.
We used to go and meet the buses, every bus, to pick up young couples. And Dad would sleep in his, he'd sleep on the sofa in his bathrobe and marry people all night long. And the license was issued right next door. The county clerk lived right next door to us, and that's, they could get a license 24 hours a day.
We used to go to the Greyhound bus depot and meet the buses. And because if you didn't, once you got a couple, if you didn't hold on to them, the other chapels would come and steal them. And we, I'm sure Dad used to pay off the taxi cab drivers a little something, I think, for if they got somebody to bring them by to.
Well, he owned the taxi company, too. So.
But, remember you sat on the lap of the cigarette guy?
That was Johnny from Philip Morris. He was a midget, a little person, I guess you call him. He had drove a little MG that he was famous. He looked like a page boy at a hotel. Call for Philip Morris, he'd say. That was a, these people don't remember any of that, but that was very, very well known.
And Joe Luce got married there. You know, Fresh Autone got married there. Louis B. Mayer got married there. Laurel and Hardy from one of the Laurel Hardys. Stan Laurel.
Victor Mature.
Victor Mature.
Constance Bennett. I don't know. There was a whole list of them. They're all in the archives at the Historical Society. They have Yuma had a. This that was a big history of Yuma. That was major history. They were, and this went on this 24 hours a day with a dozen wedding chapels, and then all of a sudden it stopped because the I think Las Vegas started lobbying in the state to get that knocked out, and I think the churches had something to do with that, trying to get this. They didn't like the quickie marriage thing.
Also remember, I don't know if you bring that in, mother being justice of the peace.
Yeah, Dad was being
drafted,
and he was. They told him to clear his affairs up, and they was and to get ready to go to the army. It was after his physical, so they appointed mother as a justice of peace here, and so she started marrying people, and she was also the coroner, had to go deal with
Dad was a coroner,
dead people of accidents, a very gory like part of her life. So then she went and ran an election too and won. And by the way, we're still in the wedding business. It's we still have the only wedding chapel in Yuma, and we've survived all these years. We're still available 7 days a week. There's a big, long history there, too, of blood testing in Yuma. We had many years of doing the blood test. We had our own laboratory, and we still went 24 hours a day.
I remember when Dad was coroner, the Justice of the Peace, he used to, I always wanted a motorcycle, and he made a point of taking me to all these guys who were killed in motorcycles when he was a coroner, and had me take a look at this and kind of shied me away from getting a motorcycle.
KAWC's Arizona Edition is a production of KAWC, Colorado River Public Media. Questions or comments are welcome. Send them to azed@kawc.org. Our theme music was used with permission and composed by Stephen Hennig and performed by members of the Yuma Jazz Company. More information at yumajazz.com. Past shows and podcast information is available online. Just visit kawc.org for more information or search Arizona Edition wherever you get your podcasts. You can also take KAWC with you wherever you go. Just download the KAWC COFA app and the listening is in your hands. I'm Victor Calderon. This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. Thanks for listening.